Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Your future is important. Take time to plan for what can go right. Talk to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Now, British Prime Minister Liz Truss said yesterday that there's no reason for the executive at Stormont not to be reinstated immediately. DUP MLA Edwin Poots responded on today's Morning Ireland, saying that cross-community consent has not been achieved. He also spoke about the Good Friday Agreement.
There won't be a Stormont government until this issue is resolved. That's the circumstances we find ourselves in. And therefore, whenever Ireland invites President Biden to come over for the 25th anniversary of the Belfast Agreement in Easter next year, unless something radical happens and the EU decide to become a bit more realistic, then he'd be coming over to the funeral of the Good Friday Agreement, not to a celebration of its 25th anniversary.
And that's Edwin Poots of the DUP to give us his view. I'm joined by Jim Allister of the TUV. Jim, good evening to you.
Good evening.
The funeral of the Good Friday Agreement, would you be as strong as that?
Well, I think the reality is this. Given that there's not a single unionist that embraces the protocol, it's impossible, I believe, to restore devolution, because the restoration of devolution necessitates that devolved institution should operate an agreement which decrees that Great Britain, the other part of my country, the United Kingdom, is a foreign country, and therefore its goods coming to Northern Ireland must be checked and subjected to foreign customs code and a foreign single market rule.
Well, a big player in the rest of your country, Jim, the Prime Minister, no less, Liz Truss, sees no reason for the lack of an executive now.
I've just given you the reason.
She obviously doesn't believe it, though.
Well, it's not down to her in the sense that there can only be a Stormont executive if the parties buy into it and operate it.
But she's
it's supposed to operate on the basis of mutual consent.
Well,
there is no consent from the unionist community, and therefore there can be no executive. Let me put it to you like this.
Mm-hmm.
If in your country, in the 26 counties of the Irish Republic, you were told that it wouldn't be laws made in Dublin governing the manufacture of your goods, governing the sales of your goods, governing the trade rules of your goods. It would be laws made in the United Kingdom that you couldn't change, and that they would be enforced upon you, and that's how your economy would operate. I don't think there'd be too many of your listeners.
Well, apples and oranges.
Say,
apples and oranges,
no,
Jim. Because
no, absolutely not.
But there
apples
are some people.
Oranges.
Well, if I can get a question
Sorry.
Out. If I can get
yes.
a question out. There are some people in Northern Ireland who would see that exactly as the case, but they live with the status quo and the legislation that has passed from Westminster, for example, because that is the law in that jurisdiction. But the difference here is that you promoted Brexit. Brexit happened in a democratic referendum, and people are living with the consequences. But Liz Truss now, as Prime Minister, sees that the consequences are that the Northern Ireland Protocol is being implemented, and she's getting down to negotiation now, whether you like it or not, to make this happen.
Well, I thought your little monologue over, let me deal with those points.
Indeed.
Northern Ireland didn't get Brexit. We got a protocol, was denied as Brexit. Brexit was about taking back control. In Northern Ireland, we didn't take back control. We left control in a foreign jurisdiction, namely in Brussels, subject to foreign laws that we don't make and can't change. Now, I repeat the point. No self-respecting Democrat in your country would accept being governed by laws that they don't make and can't change, governing things as elementary mm-hmm. as how you package your goods, how you manufacture your goods, how you sell your goods. Now, that is an offence to anyone who believes that they are entitled to be governed within their own country by their own laws.
You
just can't dismiss it by saying it may be. The reality
But Jim, with respect, it's not me who's...
It's
not me. It's not me. It doesn't matter if I dismiss it or not. It seems now to be dismissed by Liz Truss. She says she sees no reason that the Stormont Assembly can't...
Well, I've just given you multiple reasons.
Well, she's obviously taken that on board and disregarding it. And not alone that, one of the most ferocious advocates of Brexit, who would be placed Similarly, in your camp, in that argument, Steve Baker, who's now Minister of State for Northern Ireland, he has apologised for the ferocious comments he made in relation to Brexit in Northern Ireland, and that he didn't understand the consequences and the impact it would have on Northern Ireland.
I don't know what he's apologising for, but I know there is one country that should apologise, and it's yours, because it was your Taoiseach at the time that threatened the return of violence if there was a border where it should be on the island of Ireland, who produced photographs of the bombing of customs posts and said, we can't go back to this, bearing the issue that those were bombs by terrorists trying to destroy democratic control.
In the interest of fairness.
Your Taoiseach was the man who introduced the threat of violence. Now, Liz, trust me, the reality is, it's not coming back so long as the price of Stormont is to implement our own destruction through the protocol.
Can I just say to you, Jim, in the interest of fairness and context, that was brought up in the context of the necessity for a negotiated settlement on the impact of Brexit in Northern Ireland, which is why the London government and the Brussels delegation sat down and over a protracted period of time came to a negotiated settlement. And let me tell you why Steve Baker apologised. He apologised because he said he didn't understand the impact on Northern Ireland of Brexit.
Sorry, let me be very clear with you. The people of Northern Ireland are the people who have to live under the protocol. The protocol is destroying our economy. It is treating our other part of our nation as a foreign country. That's the basis upon which the protocol operates. That is unbearable for anyone of a unionist persuasion. Mm-hmm. And it would be unbearable for any unionist minister to have to implement the partitioning of the United Kingdom. It's not going to happen.
I want to tap your brain on this, Jim, because it seems that the British government, Liz Truss, is now preparing to sideline unionism, ploughing ahead with a negotiated settlement on the protocol with the European Union.
And if
you don't like it, this is me paraphrasing, she says, there will be an election in quite soon.
Bring it on.
Are you ready?
You know, yes, absolutely. Because one thing I'm sure about is that unions people are not going to be traduced or coerced into implementing their own destruction. And that's what the protocol is. It's about dismantling the union of the United Kingdom. It's about forcing unionists through the protocol to treat GB as a foreign country, to subject ourselves to foreign laws we don't make and can't change. And no self-reflecting Democrat, never mind unionist, should be doing that. And it does stagger me. You know, you talk about getting an assembly back where much of the laws we can't even change because they're made in a foreign jurisdiction. What sort of democratic arrangement is that?
Well, it's amazing.
That is what your country, in cahoots with the Brussels, has put upon us.
Well, it's amazing. So my final question to you.
You folks need to back off if you have any interest in devolution.
My final question to you, Jim, and I have Matthew O'Toole of the SCLP standing by, but my final question is, you say you're ready for an election. And I just wonder if you're not fearful of an election, because you had, along with the DUP, you had this hardline strategy on the protocol going into the last election, and the DUP lost its dominance in the north. It's no longer the biggest party. So is there not a risk that the vote could dwindle further for unionism?
No, look, there wasn't a single unionist elected who supports the protocol. There won't be a single unionist elected in any upcoming election that supports the protocol, because the protocol is so destructive of the union that you couldn't be a unionist and support it.
Okay. Well, look, Jim Allister, thank you very much indeed of the TUV for joining us on the programme. Matthew O'Toole, SCLP, Stormont leader, is with me now. Whatever you say about Jim Allister's comments, you may disagree vehemently, Matthew O'Toole, but that's the real politics of it. And unless unionist concerns are taken into account, perhaps there won't be a Stormont assembly at all, which is what Edwin Poots was getting at.
Well, you can probably take it as read that I do disagree vehemently with pretty much everything that Jim has just said, and but I hope your listeners enjoyed the tea time experience of listening to Jim in full flight. There are a couple of things I think to unpack here. Number one is in relation to what the protocol is. Jim made a number of statements about the protocol and the people of Northern Ireland. I mean, it's important to just say for the record, the protocol is not destroying the economy of Northern Ireland, and most people in Northern Ireland voted Remain. They wanted to stay in the European Union, and at all the elections since, they've actually voted for an increasing number of representatives, for a majority of representatives who support the implementation of the protocol, albeit, yes, with some mitigations to make it work as smoothly as possible. But the idea that there's simply an answer that is turning the protocol over is, I'm afraid, abhorrent to most people here. They want the protocol to be made to work. And I think that's true of lots of unionists.
But the point Jim was making, in a nutshell, is elected unionists don't like it and it needs to be changed.
Well, I mean, people from in my party, a pro-European nationalist social democratic party, hate Brexit. Other parties hate Brexit. The problem with saying, but we are asserting a veto because we don't like this one consequence of Brexit is that most people here didn't vote for Brexit. So this idea of cross-community consent, of course, I want to maximise consent, and we do have a consociational system. It's also worth noting some of the people you've referenced, Edwin Putz, Jim Allister, you just spoke to, Ian Paisley, who's been out talking about it today, are among the most prominent and vociferous opponents of the Good Friday Agreement. Jim Allister has never supported the Good Friday Agreement.
Yeah, but hang on a second here.
He doesn't support it now.
Yeah, but hang on a second here. To draw a comparison between the referendum on Brexit and accepting that or not, and the Northern Ireland Protocol, which was a negotiated settlement between the two sides, surely is a red herring. Because what they point out... Let me put the point to you. What unionism is pointing out is that that has been negotiated and it's being implemented in a certain way. And they say that can be changed. It's not like tampering with a democratic vote of a jurisdiction or various jurisdictions. And surely they're right.
Well, if that's what we're talking about, then up to a point they are right. Talking about how the protocol is implemented is one thing, but that's not what that's certainly not what Jim Allister was talking about. If you had maybe the chance to ask Jim, you could have asked him what he thought of red and green channels, what he thought about enhanced data protection, data sharing between the UK and the EU, what he thought about a veterinary agreement. But he wouldn't have cared about any of that because Jim has a fundamental and fairly hard-line view about these things. He's an obsessive Brexiteer and he is not interested in cross-border cooperation or making the Good Friday institutions work.
Yeah.
The truth is that there is a set of solutions to smooth the implementation of the protocol. Look, I don't think the protocol is perfect. I'm not a cheerleader for the protocol in and of itself. I do want to see the protocol protected because it's the last thing left in the shelf after hardline Brexiteers like Liz Truss and Steve Baker and the people who are now apparently repenting or part repenting over some of what they've said over the past few years are the ones that took anything else off the table.
Yeah, I know that. But what happens in, Matthew, we'll finish on this, even if there is a new negotiated settlement on the protocol between the two sides and unionists still don't like it?
Well, if that happens, I think that would be terrible, to be honest. And the thing that we haven't talked about so far is what people here actually care about. Look, I don't dispute the fact that there are lots of unions who dislike the protocol, and I do want to see a resolution to smooth the movement of goods. I want to see, for example, it be, you know, goods that are destined for, you know, Tesco and Strabane or Asda and Strabane or wherever to be, you know, to make sure they arrive smoothly. But I don't want to lose the single market access that the North has. I don't want to lose the protection from a hard border on this island because they were hard fought and hard won given the position of the UK government. But it is the key. What has to happen is that unions need to get real, if they, particularly the DUP, if there is a set of solutions that work and that work for business and protect our single market access, they should accept and let us get back to work.
Okay, we'll leave it there. Matthew O'Toole, SDLP Stormont leader, and beforehand Jim Allister, leader of the TUV. You can text us to 51551.